The FAA cuts the Dreamliner a break. Terror suspects want the right to sue Jeppesen. And airlines win a court battle with the TSA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 10th, 2009. Boeing's 787 Dreamliner program may benefit from a loosening of FAA fuel tank fire standards. The Seattle Times reports the FAA, which earlier had supported a requirement for all commercial aircraft operating in the U.S. to have systems to render fuel vapors inert by 2010, has concluded the requirement is impractical and will back it down to a requirement for a main system and one backup, not two backups. The proposed rule had been prompted by a finding that a 1996 mid-air explosion brought down TWA Flight 800, caused by a spark igniting fuel vapors in the empty center wing tank of a Boeing 747-100. The FAA reportedly revisited the issue after Boeing told the agency the new composite 787 would be unable to meet the new standard. Tommaso DiPaolo, who oversees the aircraft certification branch of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, has called the latest change, quote, another example of the FAA getting too close to industry. It appears that whatever Boeing wants, Boeing gets, unquote. Boeing insists the Dreamliner will be safe. An unusual federal lawsuit against Jeppesen by five terrorism suspects who want compensation for the company's role in their alleged torture was dismissed during the Bush administration, but it was appealed in a hearing yesterday before a three-judge panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. KPIX-TV in San Francisco reports the five, who are citizens of Ethiopia, Egypt, Italy, Iraq, and Yemen, all say they were tortured in foreign countries where they were sent by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency before winding up as detainees at Guantanamo Bay. They want to sue Jeppesen for its role in providing logistical support for the CIA flights that took them to Egypt, Morocco, and Afghanistan. So far, the Justice Department says it will continue its motions to dismiss based on the premise that state secrets would be revealed in a trial and the greater public good is served by dismissal of the lawsuit. The American Civil Liberties Union, which is representing the plaintiffs, is hoping President Obama will hold true to his campaign rhetoric. As ACLU attorney Ben Wisner puts it, quote, this case presents the first test of the Obama administration's dedication to transparency and willingness to act on its condemnation of torture and rendition, unquote. The ACLU also rejects the secrecy argument. Quote, government officials at the highest levels have spoken publicly, repeatedly, and in detail about the CIA's rendition and detention program, unquote. The court is expected to consider the case and issue a ruling at a later date. General aviation manufacturers are apparently finding it difficult to estimate the potential bottom of the 2009 sales slump. Just days after announcing its job cuts would grow to 4,600, Cessna told some remaining employees on Friday they'll work shortened weeks. Cessna spokesman Doug Oliver told the Associated Press the schedule changes will be effective this Friday the 13th and continue for 7 weeks. Quote, the key is to keep inventory from building up and to make sure that we're producing only the parts we need to produce the number of aircraft we're going to produce this year. We think we are at a level, given current economic conditions, that will carry us through this year and perhaps even next year, unquote. A group of 22 U.S. airlines have been in a fight with the Transportation Security Administration, arguing that about a quarter of the security fees they've paid since 9/11 to conduct airport screenings were unjustified. The disputed charges amount to about $100 million each year since 2005. The Chicago Tribune reports that a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington has dismissed most of the challenge, but that one complaint did stick, that TSA has been improperly charging the airlines for the screening of non-passengers. The judges have ordered TSA to recalculate those disputed charges. Both sides are spinning the decision as a win. The Air Transport Association says the court, quote, recognized that the Transportation Security Administration overcharged the airlines and that those fees must be reduced, unquote. TSA calls the ruling, quote, another positive step in resolving this ongoing dispute, unquote. Up next on ANN, U.S. airlines improve on-time performance in 2008. Boeing and its unions get a sobering warning. And a pilot is charged with perpetrating a hoax at Plattsburgh International. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 10th. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. Department of Transportation says major U.S. airlines were more punctual in 2008 than in the previous year. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics says 19 reporting carriers posted an overall on-time arrival rate of 76.0% for the year. That's up from 2007's 73.4. During December, they hit 65.3%, up from December 2007's 64.3%. Hawaiian Airlines led all airlines in on-time performance for 2008, with 79.6% of all flights arriving within 15 minutes of scheduled times. U.S. Airways and American rose from near the bottom in 2007 to finish second and third, respectively, in 2008, at 72.1% and 69.9%. In last place for 2008 was Delta's regional operator, Comair, with only 55.1% of its flights arriving on time for the year. You can read more details of the report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Two of commercial aviation's biggest names had sobering comments about Boeing commercial aircraft last week, marring what should have been the cheerful occasion of the delivery of a new Boeing 777 to V Australia. The Seattle Times reports that on Friday, Stephen Udvar-Hazy, CEO of International Lease Finance Corporation, countered Boeing's predictions of steady production through the end of this year. He predicts that both Boeing and Airbus could cut production by a third in the next 18 months, virtually guaranteeing layoffs. ILFC buys airliners to lease to carriers and is the largest Boeing customer in the world. Sir Richard Branson, chairman of the Virgin Blue Group of Airlines, appeared conscious his comments would reach both execs and workers at Boeing, and did not mince words. He commented on his new 777, which was supposed to have been delivered last year. Quote, "It was a horrible mess that Boeing was on strike. We messed up tens of thousands of passengers over Christmas. We had to buy tickets on other airlines and scramble to get seats which weren't available. The financial damage in an industry where the margins are minute is catastrophic. Britain was plagued by strikes 30 years ago. America should have got over this by now." Unquote. Udvar-Hazy said of 2009, quote, "It could happen that this will be the year when net cancellations and deferrals actually exceed the number of new aircraft orders. The elements are out there for that to happen," unquote. Regarding Branson's comments on Boeing's labor woes, he added, quote, "You can't deal with companies that are unreliable," unquote. The federal indictment of a fundraiser for deposed Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is tainting OMP, the O'Hare Modernization Program, in Chicago, and a group opposing the project is wasting no time in making sure everyone sees the connection. The group has issued a statement noting that federal prosecutors have indicted Chris Kelly, president and owner of BCI Commercial Roofing, accusing him and his company of paying at least $450,000 in kickbacks to a consultant, part of an alleged scheme to fraudulently obtain $8.5 million in inflated contracts for projects. John Giles is village president of Bensonville, much of which would be bulldozed to make way for a new runway at O'Hare. He says, quote, "Sadly, this is business as usual with the OMP. Kickbacks, corruption, and special favors and money for political cronies. I'm just one of many who have seen this project for what it is, a $20 billion boondoggle designed to raise funds and reward politicians' friends with financial gain," unquote. The group, Stop OMP, is trying to pressure the FAA to consider alternative runway configurations proposed by the Chicago air traffic controllers and construction of a third airport in the metro area to avoid the need to expand O'Hare. A pilot is in deep trouble for allegedly faking an accident and disrupting air traffic at Plattsburgh International Airport. Local media report that 50-year-old Nicholas Santo of Burlington is charged with a felony count of second-degree falsely reporting an incident and a misdemeanor count of second-degree aggravated harassment. Santo is accused of radioing the tower at Plattsburgh on January 30th, reporting that high-intensity runway lights had blinded him, causing his plane to veer into a snowbank and flip over. A Cape Air flight on approach to the airport was delayed by what authorities later determined was a hoax. They say the plane from which Santo reported the accident was a Cessna owned by a flight school and had already taken off safely before the radio report. Santo was released from custody, but ordered to appear later this month in Plattsburgh Town Court. Still ahead, another ditching is being called Sully Light. Here's proof you don't need a brain to use eBay. And David Martz, spoiled celebrity pilot or working stiff? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 10th. I'm Paul Platt. There's been another successful forced water landing of an aircraft. This time it was in the Timor Sea off the coast of Darwin in Australia's Northern Territories, and this time it was a Piper PA-31 Navajo Chieftain. The plane had just departed Darwin International Airport when it lost power over the water. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'll let you do it. With doubts about the firmness of the sand on the beach, the pilot opted for a ditching about 8:30 a.m. local time Friday morning. He and his five passengers were unhurt and waded ashore. The plane's owner, the Australian information technology company CSG, praised the pilot, Steve Boley. Its statement said, quote, "We would like to congratulate the pilot following all emergency landing and evacuation procedures and his very professional handling of the situation," unquote. Neville Blythe, a senior transport safety investigator with the Australian Transport Safety Bureau, remarked, quote, "It's essentially a good story," unquote. When asked about Australian media's referring to the incident as Sully Light, Blythe responded, quote, "The correlation for a water landing is as close as it gets," unquote. Remember when Mom told you, if it seems too good to be true, it is? Well, back in November, a bargain-hunting employee of a Rockwell Collins distributor found a $45,000 Collins Attitude reference computer listed for sale for only $9,000 on eBay. Remembering Mom's advice, he asked the seller for the serial number. It came back to a plane which was being painted. After authorities were notified, investigators found other parts listed online by the same seller were also stolen. The Wichita Eagle reports that further investigation led them to the door of 31-year-old Diego Alejandro Paz Terran, a mechanic who worked for Cessna Aircraft Company. He's been charged in federal court with a sale of stolen property. Conviction could mean 10 years in federal prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Cessna spokesman Doug Oliver was careful not to blame the auction site. Quote, "There's a lot of people out selling parts legally on the internet," unquote. And finally, we told you last week about bad boy helicopter pilot David Martz, who's had run-ins with the law a few times over the last 23 years. In 1986, his pilot certificate was revoked for flying with a forged medical. In 2002, he received a 30-day suspension for doing aerobatics below 1,500 feet and over a populated area. The following year, he lost it again for landing too close to personnel at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar. Most recently, he was arrested February 1st for allegedly flying too close to an LAPD helicopter. Well, all this notoriety has prompted someone to post a video of another previous Martz exploit on TMZ.com. The San Diego Union-Tribune says the video, which was reportedly shot in 2007, features Martz at the controls of a helicopter in flight over San Diego with adult video star Puma Swede as his passenger. While black rectangles strategically block portions of the scenes, starting with her flamboyant pre-flight disrobing on the tarmac at Montgomery Field, let's just say Ms. Swede appears during the flight to be auditioning for a part as a bobblehead doll. The FAA was made aware of the incident earlier, but now that the video has been posted, an investigation will begin. The agency's Ian Greger told the Tribune, quote, "We're going to review the video. We're going to try to speak to everyone in the video, including the porn star, and we're going to go from there," unquote. After the video story broke, Martz was still flying Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee around Southern California. This guy may have found the only clientele who consider his exploits a resume enhancement. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the birth of a brand new organization for flight instructors, and we'll take you into the delivery room. I'll talk again with Doug Stewart, who is now the spokesman for the interim working group at the newly forming Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.